this week, this Sunday, is a really special Sunday, not just here at City Church, but for churches all across the United States. Today is Stand Sunday. You might know it better as Orphan Sunday. And so rather than me stand up here and tell you all about it, we've got an awesome video that we want you guys to watch, and then Pastor Matt's going to come up and bring an awesome word. So check out this video.
There are 30,000 children that are in the foster care system today in the state of Texas. There are 500,000 children that are in the U.S. that's in the foster care system.
And I said, who would stand with me today for these kids? That day, Nedra Wade, she stood and raised her hand and she said, Pastor, I will. And then another person stood and said, I will. And another stood and said, I will. And another stood and said, I will. Well, after the process started in our church and family after family, within 3 months, 39 children were placed in families in our church.
Jesus, Jesus.
What if there was more families waiting for children than children waiting for families? So we called Child Protective Services. And they said, if that happens in any county, that will be the first ever.
Precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
And churches all across America today join alongside Pastor Blake and what they did in Browns County and for Stand Sunday and Orphan Sunday. And it's something that we've done every year now since the beginning of City Church. And I'll just tell you, I'm a notoriously bad celebrator. I don't really stop and smell the roses. I like to jump onto what is next. So before we do, I want to stop real quick because not only is it 20-year anniversary of Stand Sunday, but today is the 10-year anniversary since we launched 101 Project here in Tulsa County. And I just want to briefly share that story. And every year I kind of do that because I know there's some people in the room who maybe don't know the story. But we launched City Church in January of 2010. And in 2011, we had a representative from the Faith-Based Initiatives from the Department of Human Services in Oklahoma come with a friend of mine in Oklahoma City, and they drove up the turnpike to visit us, and we were less than a year old as a church, still relatively small. Nobody knew about City Church. We hadn't been here long enough to make a significant impact, and they began to tell us about the foster care crisis that we had in our own backyard. And they said, we have all these amazing churches in Tulsa, and yet so many of the churches are going across the world and doing all these things for kids, and yet we have a crisis right down the street that nobody is doing anything about. And I had lived kind of unaware of the foster care crisis, and so I said, man, that's great. We're willing to step into that space, but we're a really small church. Like, we just started, and there may be some other churches that want to do more, and I think they kind of told me, like, well, we went to them, and nobody really wanted to step into this space, and we believe the answer to this problem is the local church. And so what happened is we begin to step into this space with a vision to leave no Oklahoma child without a family. And what it looked like is that after our staff meeting on Mondays, and remember, we're a church plant, so we had a small group of people and doing what we can. We would leave our staff meetings, and several of our staff members or volunteers would go to nearby churches, and we would just advocate for the kids in the welfare system and say, would you and your church just one Sunday a year at least just stand up in front of your congregation and tell them what the need is and see how people respond? Would you be an advocate for those kids who are forgotten, who don't have forever homes? And honestly, here's just the sad reality of the truth of this. Getting churches to work together is one of the hardest things in the world to do. Churches are just naturally territorial. They want to start things, but they don't want to join things. And we knew that this movement had to be bigger than one church. We knew it was going to take many of us. At that time, Oklahoma was in the bottom five in America in kids in the welfare system based upon our population. There was a huge, huge need. And so if I can, if you'll allow me, I want to share with you this timeline real quick. Will you look at this timeline? In 2011, the 111 Project launches in Tulsa County through City Church. In 2011, we host our first conference in Tulsa County to resource the local churches and families called the 8046 Conference. In 2014, we hire a good friend of mine, Chris Campbell, as our 111 Project Executive Director. We could not afford him, right? And we didn't have a lot of money coming in at that time. And Chris believed that God had called him to that place and said, you know what, I'll figure out how to make it work. I want to step into that space, and he is still our executive director today. In 2015, OKDHS and 111 Project, we launched an initiative together called Oklahoma Fosters with campaign. This campaign with Governor Fallon resulting in Oklahoma reaching annual family recruitment goals. This was a significant step for us. We went from just one of many foster care and welfare system ministries to now one of the main ones promoted by the governor of the state of Oklahoma. In 2015, there was the closing of the Pauline Meyer State-Ran Children's Shelter in Oklahoma City. In 2016, we launched the Care Portal, first in Tulsa County and then a few months later in Oklahoma County. In 2018, we closed the Laura Dester State-Ran Children's Shelter in Tulsa, the two largest shelters in the state of Oklahoma that were over capacity almost every night in 2010, 2011. We no longer needed them. Come on now. That's amazing. In 2019, Oklahoma was recognized as one of only five states in the country that has seen a decrease in kids in care and an increase in foster families. We are coming close to a tipping point where we actually, as Bishop Blake said, we have more families waiting on kids than kids waiting on family. Is that not amazing? Amazing. In 2021, the 111 Project opens our 26th county in Oklahoma on the Care Portal, officially serving one-third of the state's counties, over 4,000 children being served annually through the Care Portal. Just last month, Oklahoma child welfare numbers dropped below 7,200 children in care, which is the lowest this number has been in over 15-plus years. Why is this significant? Because the population has continued to increase while we somehow, through the work of the local church, have been able to decrease the number of kids in the welfare system in our state, which is nothing short of miraculous. This being Orphan Sunday, our executive director, it's a busy day for him. I didn't want to pull him away from other places, and so I asked Chris just to send you a short message saying thank you for 10 years of your investment in this. So check this out from Chris Campbell.
Hey, City Church, Chris Campbell here from 111 Project, and I just wanted to tell you congratulations on 10 years of ministry as a church. We're just forever indebted to you guys for your partnership. All the way back to 2011 when 111 was first started, you guys were there, to when I became on board with 111 Project as the executive director. Matt and your church were there. Over the last 5 years, 111 Project has seen almost 15,000 kids impacted in the child welfare system, and you guys have been a part of that movement. You've funded that movement. You've cheered for that movement. But what I'm really excited, just this last year alone, Oklahoma churches, through your leadership and your partnership, we've almost seen 25% of the kids in the child welfare system engaged by the local church, served by the local church to help them either get back with their families or stay out of foster care or help them in a foster care placement and everything in between. And so we're just grateful for your guys' passion for the foster care space. And we hope together we can mobilize the local church in all 77 counties of Oklahoma so that no child is without family. So once again, thank you. Congratulations. We're excited for you guys, and we're looking forward to the next 10 years and seeing the impact that we can make together.
Amen. When we started this back in 2011, we would go to these churches, and I want to thank some people who are listening online or not in the room, or maybe I know Amber, you led this at one time, Molly Meyer did, Pastor Jim did. I remember that at times we would go to different churches and just be advocates for foster care ministry, and we would see amazing amount of churches, like two or three, join what God was doing, because it was hard to get churches to work together. And I believe today in 1-1 Project, just in Tulsa County alone, there's over 240 churches now working together to leave no Oklahoma child in our county. There are hundreds more across the state that are now partnered together. We have seen unprecedented unity of the church working together around this cause. And what's amazing is because churches are kind of laying down their own preferences and laying down their pride and saying, you know what, if we're going to do significant work for the kingdom, it's got to be united together. Amen? And this is what's brought us together. And sometimes it's need. And that's what has done that, to see really this movement begin. And I want to take a few minutes and do this because I think it's important that we don't just jump into the what are we going to do, but the why. Why do we occupy this space? If you want more about this, you're welcome. In the spring of this last year, we did a series through the Minor Prophets. We took a Minor Prophet every week, and we dive a lot into this because the Minor Prophets speak a lot about the oppressed and the marginalized. And so you're welcome to, if you want a deeper dive. But all throughout the story of God, from Genesis to Revelation, we see a God who calls his covenant people to stand in the place of the oppressed, the marginalized, and the defenseless. It's not optional if you're the people of God. As people who have been redeemed and bought through the work of the gospel in Jesus, we're called to the broken places to bring redemption where there is brokenness. And you have to think about the times where throughout the Old Testament when it was written, even in the times of the New Testament, the first several centuries, if you were an orphan, there was no welfare system in place. The government had nothing in place for you. And so, again, what would happen to these kids with no homes? And so you see God compelling the people of God to say, hey, this has been created because of sin. This was not my original creation, that families would be ripped apart. And so you have to step into the brokenness. And so God calls us to stand up for the widows. During this time, there are very few opportunities for a woman to make money in the first, second century. And so if something happened to your husband, many of these widows would have been left with nothing and to kind of fend for themselves. And so again, God calls his people to step into that space. If you were an outsider, an immigrant, or homeless, there were limited resources for you. And without friends, connections, or families, how would you make ends meet? In all of these groups, there was a sense of helplessness. What's going to happen to them if somebody doesn't do something? And God always looks at his people and says, you are that somebody. You have been redeemed, purchased, and now you are to go and help redeem the brokenness. Sin and pride naturally makes us move towards power, wealth, privilege, social status. And God says, the people of God, the church, you're not called to move towards that. As my people, you're called to move towards the weak and the oppressed and the hurting. Isaiah picks up on this all throughout the book of Isaiah. But two examples of this. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16, he says, wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of the orphan. Fight for the rights of the widows. Again and again, God says this to his people. Many of them who are actually taking advantage of the weak. Not only were they not fighting for the oppressed, but they were actually taking advantage. If I can make a dollar of you, if I can get higher by making you go lower, I'll do it, which is despicable in the eyes of God. He says, if your love for me is genuine, it's got to overflow into the most vulnerable, into those who cannot do this themselves. God calls us to be restorers and rebuilders. He says this in Isaiah chapter 58. He says, feed the hungry and help those who are in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. I want you to look at this next verse because this is what I hope our church is to be. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your city. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. What a picture of God's people, right? Like, that's what you do. And this is not something that God takes in the Old Testament and then it somehow changes in fulfillment in the New Testament. God takes this Old Testament concept and takes it even farther in the New Testament. We see in the book of James how James is warring with people who are claiming to be followers of Jesus and yet their actions don't necessarily show it. He says in chapter 1, verse 22, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Now, what is James doing here? He's not giving you an exhaustive list of what genuine religion looks like, but I'm really glad he used these examples. He says, does your love overflow into love for the oppressed and the marginalized? Because if not, you may need to rethink your religion, your faith. If it's not moving towards other people, and especially people in need, you need to look again at what's really happening inside of you. He says, are you controlling your tongue? Because followers of Jesus don't just say whatever they think. Like, you've learned to control yourself. And they're moving into the marginalized and the vulnerable with the love of Jesus. Will you give your time, resources, and attention to people who can do nothing for you in return? Isn't that it? Like, there's nothing they can necessarily do to benefit me. By spending time with them or doing this, I don't elevate my own social status. I don't get anything from it. And yet, you know what? The gospel compels me. The love of God compels me to move into this messy space and give my time and energy. You want to, I didn't say this first service, so this is free for you, second service. You know, the Bible passage that's probably the most difficult for me to preach is the Good Samaritan. Because it's talking to me, a spiritual leader. Like the Levite, right? And the Samaritan, he does something, but the Levite and the priest, they kind of walk on by. Why do I relate to that? Is because when it comes to the gift of hospitality, anybody have that gift? I'm so grateful for you. That's the lowest for me. I love to teach. I love vision. Let's charge the hill. Let's strategize. My wife would be the first to tell you, I don't have the gift of hospitality. I would love it if I did. I don't. And so I'm very driven, and I like to schedule my day. And so guess what happens when you're driven and you like to schedule your day? You don't like interruptions. You don't want to be interrupted. You don't want an hour delay where you have to take a detour because I have somewhere to be. And so every time I preach that message, I'm like teaching it, and I'm like, this is about me, right? You know? Because how many know ministry and loving people happens in the interruptions? It happens in that space where you're willing to stop and listen and be present and say, you know what, I do have somewhere to be, but it's not important as being here right now with you. And I struggle with that, but I know my struggle. I'm willing to admit it and say, you know what, I've got to be present because that's where Jesus would be. I think sometimes the church is like, where is Jesus? Why can't I sense Jesus? Because Jesus is with the hurting and the broken, not necessarily with the powerful. And so we have to enter to these spaces that are uncomfortable. And some of you are like, I don't like that because it's just super uncomfortable. Well, get used to being a follower of Jesus. Because you're a follower of Jesus, you're saying yes. You're going to move into spaces that don't always feel comfortable. And this is how you show, like, man, my heart is genuine because you know what? I'm willing to give somebody even knowing they can give me nothing in return. And I believe this is where we often find Jesus, but you know what? You have to step into some messy, difficult, heartbreaking situations. You want to step into the welfare, child welfare world? Heartbreaking. That's why we don't stand up here and say, hey, you know what? If you just say yes to being a foster family, foster parent, or adopting, life is going to be so great for you. That's a lie. It's challenging. Now, is it rewarding and fruitful? Absolutely. But it's messy. Ask anybody who's done it. It doesn't always work out like you thought. But here's the thing. This is like if you've ever been on a missions trip and you're like, we're going to go to a mission trip and we're going to save those people. You know what happens on a mission trip? God does more in you than he does in them. And as you say yes to stepping into these spaces, here's what God does. He begins to transform you. Your heart begins to change. Yeah, we do it because we want to leave no Oklahoma child without a family, but God begins to reorient some things in our hearts as we step into these broken spaces and places where God is present. How do we accomplish this task? How do we do this together? We kind of, around 101 Project, we take a football analogy. Even if you're not a football person, you'll get this. It takes a really good offense. It takes a really good offense. And our offense is this: to continue to recruit foster parents and families to step into these broken places so that no Oklahoma child is without a family. And so every time we talk about this, I present this to you because here's what I know. There's people in this room, there's people listening, there's people outside that God has already put this on your heart, and we want you to know you're not going to be alone, right? You're not going to be alone. Right when we launched our church, we were serving at the Boo-ha-ha Halloween parade right here in Brookside, and we had a lady walk up to us, and she was talking to one of our staff members, and she just said, "Hey, I live right around the corner here." She goes, "I'm a single lady. I just started fostering these three kids." She started talking about her sexuality and her background. She's like, "If I show up at your church, what's going to happen to me? Like, are you okay with me? I want you to know who I am before I show up." And we were like, "Yeah, we're okay with you. Like, just show up and then we'll prove ourselves to you. Like, we're going to love you well." And many people who know that when this woman came to our church, her three foster children became like our city church family. Man, we did special renovations at their house. We had like grandparents for them here. We just rallied around. They became like our kids. We had Jonette share at our very first foster care conference. And as she's talking, I'm actually thinking to myself, I don't know what she's going to say. And this could go either way, right? Like, have you ever been in that moment where you're like, this could go really, really good or not? And what she said in that next moment actually still reverberates through the 101 Project community, because she looked, and as she kind of begins to cry, she says, "What I need is the church to foster me as I foster these children. And if the church will foster me, I can do this. But I can't be alone." And it became a mantra of ours, like, we're going to foster you as people step out and they take this journey. And I promise this is just a God coincidence. I did not plan this. I'm not smart enough to put this kind of stuff together. I was in first service here, sitting during worship, and I got a text message from Molly Meyer in our church, who serves as kind of a grandparent to these three foster children. Several years ago, they actually moved to San Antonio. Jonette became a missions pastor as a church there. God has done so much in their life. She ended up adopting these three kids. And Molly said, "This happened this morning, and Heaven is the youngest of these three kids that were adopted, and she was baptized this morning at her church." Is that not awesome? Love that. Jacoby, Andre, and Heaven became part of our family and still are, even they don't live here today. And part of a great offense is to continue to say the need is continually going to be there. We know not everybody is called into that space. Everybody is called to do something, but some of you are called to step into that space and become a foster parent or family. And every time I give this call every year during Orphan Sunday, we have 2, 3, 4, 5 individuals or families that say, "You know what? That may be me. That may be a step of obedience that I need to take." Not only do you need a good offense, but what else do you need? You need a good defense, right? Yeah, to win a championship. All you Oklahoma Sooner fans, you know that you can't just have an offense. You need a defense as well. And here's what our defense is. Our defense is what we use, is called the Care Portal, what we launched in 2015 to help us resource and take care of both bio families and foster families. The foster family who says, "You know what, I'm going to take in this sibling set of three, but I don't have beds for all of them." Beds are the number one most requested need in our state for a foster family. And we say, "We want to help you find a bed." Right? For the bio family, for a mom that says, "You know what, I need help keeping my kids in the house, but I can't get to work, and I just need a bus pass." And a $40 bus pass can make the difference between a child staying in a home. Can you believe that? Amazing. And the Care Portal allows us to do that. And then fans. We need people who are just people of encouragement, people who are saying, "You know what, I'll be an emergency placement family. I'm not going to take a kid forever, but for those first few days, instead of them setting up at some kind of sheriff's office or police office or some back room while somebody waits to do what them, like, I'll take that kid in for those few days as they walk through probably the worst tragedy of their life," right? "I'll be a respite family for somebody in our church who has taken on a foster family so they can have a date night, so they can have a night off. I'll step into that space to cook meals. I'll respond to Care Portal needs." We need fans. We need people who are saying, "You know what? I want to be a part of this solution." And honestly, if I could be real with you, I don't think as the people of God, you have an option. I think it's what is called me, God has called me to do, not if God has called me to something. We can all be a part of it in some way. We do this every few years because we know there's a lot of people in the room that you aren't familiar with what the Care Portal is, and so I know you've already watched a lot, but if you would take a couple minutes, we're going to show you really quickly what the Care Portal does here in the state of Oklahoma.
Every year, more than 4 million children teeter on the brink of entering foster care. And more than 400,000 are in foster care, most of them for preventable reasons. The foster care system impacts more than you can imagine. 50% of the homeless, 60% of girls and women rescued from sex trafficking raids, and 75% of those incarcerated spent time in foster care. The foster care system is ground zero, the place where our efforts will have the absolute greatest impact on our communities. And here is the good news. So many of you care about these issues. Churches and agencies and businesses, community leaders, all want to help. What we're missing is connection, the chance to collaborate and put our networks and resources together. Care Portal uses technology to make real-time care connections for kids and families in crisis. This platform helps us make the most vulnerable children our priority, which makes them the single most powerful source for uniting and healing our communities as we serve together. Here's how it works. Caseworkers with child-serving agencies encounter needs of children in crisis every day. They enter vetted needs into Care Portal, which immediately makes local churches and community members who've joined the network aware, giving them a real-time opportunity to respond. This platform is designed to equip the local church to be at the point of care for these children and families in need. And it allows for the entire community to work together on any request. So whether it's one church that responds or a community of churches and businesses and individuals working together, Care Portal makes vital connections possible through an easy-to-use platform at your fingertips.
So many of our children and families in child welfare are isolated. They don't have a support system. Care Portal can provide not only the physical needs for the children and family, but can also provide a support system and relationships.
I look at the Care Portal as a platform for us to be able to do ministry across denomination lines, across racial lines, across social economic lines, and the mission field is in our backyard.
Sometimes, connection means meeting one need at just the right moment. At other times, connection starts life-changing relationships. When you join Care Portal, you're saying yes to connections that change lives, transform communities, and can reverse the foster care crisis in our nation. That yes makes children the priority, because every child matters, and what you do matters. Children have the power to change us.
I want to give you an example of what this looks like. Many people are critical sometimes of government systems, the welfare system, Oklahoma DHS. Let me tell you why I'm not critical of them. It's because they're occupying a space that the church should have occupied a long time ago. And sometimes the church has said, not our problem, not our issue. Well, absolutely it is. And it's a space that we are called as the people of God to address. And so we've kind of outsourced it to a government agency, but now what Care Portal does is it regains our rightful place as the church is saying, hey, we are the repair of the broken walls and streets, right? And so even just this week, I took a Care Portal request that came in. This Care Portal request that came in online actually is from a mom that lives right across the street from City Church right here. She's in this neighborhood. And it says this, this has helped to reunify a bio family. So this is a mom who doesn't have a support system. Her toddler, she has two kids, were just removed from her home because of unsanitary situations and some other things, and she is working to get her kids back in their home. I think that's a worthy cause, don't you? And it says here, this is her caseworker says, a mother on one of my cases needs help to maintain her home. She's able to maintain parts of her home but cannot afford to purchase the necessities at that time. She needs cleaning supplies in the bathroom and kitchen. She needs a bus pass so she can get to her visits with her kids. The toddler girl doesn't have any toys or anything in the homes right now. We need some toys. The mother also will require to have the house exterminated because of some pest issues that they had here. The total cost of this comes to about $162. But where's that money going to come from? Some of you DHS workers, you're in the room and listening, like, I know you pull stuff from your own pocket all the time because you see the need. And you have, like, you're trying to find out where the resources are coming from. And so this need comes to the care portal. Guess what? City Church is the closest to that need. Someone from another church actually already jumped on and said, you know what? I know a guy who has an exterminator company. He'll come in for free. We've got that covered. And that's on there. Can anybody else provide the bus pass and some cleaning supplies? And can we get this little toddler girl some toys? Absolutely, we can. Right? It was updated just a few days ago saying that this mom, one of the things that she has to do is, like, she's going to have to jump through all these hoops to get her kids back, and she has to take an assessment. The assessment, she has to pay out of pocket for $99. She doesn't have that. Right? And so it gives us, the church, an opportunity to build a bridge and to meet needs. And guess what? We want that mama to keep her kids, don't we? Like, that's what we want to have. We want to empower people to be who God's called them to be. In the last 12 months, I know through our care portal page, we've served over 44 kids, about $15,000 given. In the last 24 months, we've met over 155 care portal requests in this area. Sometimes we get direct contact with the people. Sometimes we work through the DHS worker. Sometimes it's, you know, we just kind of send them a check for it. Sometimes we're able to go and meet the family in need and build a bridge with them and pray with them and share the love of Jesus. Some of them are physical needs. Some of it is, you know what, a mentor and help, like, just because it's a mom or a dad. Last year, a dad who got all three of his kids back and had not one piece of furniture in the entire house, and everybody on our care portal Facebook page, we were like, all right, we've got to furnish an entire house. Who wants to take kitchen, right? Who wants to take living room? And by piece, we furnish the whole thing. Allows the church to be in the hands and feet of Jesus now because we know what the needs are. Amen? It's amazing what we can do through this. There is not a church in the state of Oklahoma who has funded the opening of more care portal counties than you. And I just want to say thank you for your generosity. Every year we've written a check somewhere between $5,000 and $20,000 directly to the care portal to open up a county. Every county requires somewhere between $3,000 to $12,000 depending on the size of the county. And so we go in, we provide the infrastructure, some of the technology, the admin people, and then we always find anywhere from 5 to 12 churches. It starts with a group of churches willing to say, we're committing to meeting needs in our county. I wish I knew Oklahoma geography better, but the next three counties to open in the next 2 months that we are trying to fund are Lincoln County, Logan County, and Ottawa counties that are prepared right now. We have the churches in place that still require the funding. And so guess what? That's one of the things that we're talking about today, is anybody who gives is going to go directly towards opening those counties. So let me say this. If you jump on cc.guide, there's a tab at the very top that says Orphan Sunday, and there are three ways today that you can be a part of helping us leave no Oklahoma child without a family. Number one is this: I'm interested in receiving more information about becoming a foster parent or family. If you choose to sign up and mark this, you are not saying that you want to be a foster family or parent. You are simply saying, I feel led to explore this space. I want to learn more information. We want you to know that you're not alone. When you enter into something like this and you don't know what it is and you feel like you're alone, how many know it's overwhelming? When you feel like you have a church family and you're educated about it, how many know that you're equipped to do what God's called you to do? And so if that's you, what we'll do is reach out to you and just get you more information. We'll walk with you on this journey, whether it's something that happens or it doesn't happen, whether it's next month or you need to go through the process or years from now. We have people who signed up for this 2 years ago that are just now getting their first placement because it just took a while for that to happen or those steps to happen. If that's you, we want to know that. Number two, I'm willing to join our Care Portal Facebook group and respond to families in need. Here's what we're going to ask you. If you have no desire to respond to the needs, please don't join our Facebook group. We need to do some purging right now, okay? If you do, want to meet needs. What happens is we have individuals in our church. I know Lindsay Puckett's been a part of this, Katie Bewley. I'm totally blanking on one. Who am I missing? Alex Bray. Come on now. I knew somebody in this room knew that. Thank you to you three who have stepped into that space and helped us. What we do is we funnel the requests through our Facebook page. And so instead of you getting 10 to 15 requests a day, which can be absolutely overwhelming, we kind of take the ones in our areas or the ones that come to us, and we present them. And what's great about this is people on our Facebook page saying, you know what, I can do $20, or I have a couch, a really nice, already sitting in my garage right now, or I want to give that away, or you know what, we can provide a car seat for a kid, whatever it may be that comes up, is as this community on Facebook that we're able to meet needs. And so if you want to be a part of that, let me say this to you as well. If you have a small group that wants to receive emails from Care Portal, you can do that. If you were a business, we now have community partnerships. You can be a business and receive Care Portal requests, just to say, hey, you know what? We are a nonprofit or for-profit business, and we just want to help families and individuals in our community. You can receive those requests and meet those as a business, which is awesome. That's open to us now. Then last but not least, number three, I'm willing to give today to help support 111 Project and launch the Care Portal in new counties, specifically these three counties. We are not far away from having the Care Portal in every county. I believe it's going to happen in the next 4 to 5 years that the entire state of Oklahoma, we will have access to every child in the welfare system and every family who is in need. Is that not remarkable? I mean, it's amazing what God has done in 10 years. It is absolutely amazing. And so you can jump on cc.guide, sign up for any three of those or all three of them, whatever it may be for you, and help us take this significant step. If you would stand to your feet with me across this room. We're going to pray this morning corporately that God allows us the privilege of stepping into this space. Let me say, City Church is known for a lot of things. Mostly good things, I think. We're known as a church that is going and outreach-oriented. We're known as a church planting church that we've planted 27 churches through this church. And one of our legacies is we are known as a foster care church that loves and has done significant work in the arena of foster care. And it's not because of me. It's not because of a couple individuals. It's because years ago, we said yes to a small step of obedience. How many know movements start with one simple yes? Now, not in a million years would I have told you when we said yes to that meeting in 2011, we would be here 10 years later. I honestly couldn't have imagined it. How we would have gone from a bottom five in our state to a top five. That people are actually looking at the strategy that Oklahoma has implemented and wanting to replicate it, to me, is mind-blowing from where we were. And let me tell you, it's because of the people of God. It's because of the church. And so what I want to do this morning is just take this space, whether you pray out loud or pray to yourself, please don't just listen to me pray. I want us to intercede for a minute and pray for this movement to continue. Every child that's in need, every family that's hurting, every bio mom or dad that is fighting to get their kids back, that we will step into this space, that the people of God will continue to step into the brokenness, and that we will see redemption happen. Amen? Amen. Let's pray for that. Father, God, we bring something to you that is already on your heart. You're already present here. And God, we thank you for the past 10 years. We stop and we know that it's a move of your spirit. And God, we pray that it would not stop, but this would be just only the beginning of what you want to do, because all of these statistics and numbers, they all represent lives and children and individuals, Father, that we don't want any child in our state, in our county, in our city, without a family, a loving parent who wraps their arms around them, Father. So we pray, would you continue to move on the hearts of your people and your church to say yes. God, that we would not get comfortable, that we would not move towards power and privilege and status, God, but we would move towards the vulnerable. We would move towards the brokenness and the messy, because that's where you are, Father, and that's where you've called us to be. And so disrupt our comfortable lives and move us into broken places to be present with those individuals, Father. We ask, God, that you would continue to move, that we would look back in another 10 years and we will see all of these families in line waiting for kids, God, We would see kids in forever homes, Father. We would see families restored back to health, moms and dads stepping into their place as healthy leaders of their homes, Father. We pray this, Father. We ask that you would move. It's bigger than us, God. So we cry out to you and we intercede as your people. And God, we say what we will do whatever it takes. We will step into that space, God. God, we pray for all of our 111 project leaders, our executive director, our state leaders, our DHS workers. Father, give them the grace to continue to occupy such a difficult space. God, that their hearts wouldn't become hardened to the overwhelming needs, Father, but give them strength. To all of our foster parents and families in this room and across the area, Father, we pray that you would strengthen them, Father. Resolve, God, that you would pour out blessing upon them for their step of obedience and their yes. We pray for every kid and child that is in need and hurting right now, Father. Would you intervene? Would you hold them close, Father? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let me just say, as your pastor, I'm so grateful for you, specifically for entering into this space, for your generosity. Man, you know what? I honestly believe this. If this is one of our greatest legacies that God has for us as a church, I'm okay with that. It really is, that we would make a significant difference in that. If there's any of those steps that you need to take, I encourage you to do that today. A couple quick reminders for you. I'm going to have some of our elder staff, prayer team, if you're in the room, if you would go ahead and make your way down here this morning. As we exit in just a few minutes, if you have a need, anything that you want specific prayer about this morning, if you would stop, we just have people that will pray with you, agree with you, and just love you, and some of those individuals will be up here in front. If you're a first-time guest, I'd love to meet you outside, just about 30 seconds of your time to greet you and say hello. And thanks for being here. This Sunday is a little bit different than normal, but how many know I think it's a worthy cause? Amen. Thank you for what you're doing in the space of child welfare. Let's end with our mission statement and go live it out. Wherever you are, be the gospel.